end this word this morning with we have another song that we're just going to end it on. I'm going to make my departure, but we're just going to play it for you to listen to, and I want you to soak it in as it has a center effect in our message this morning. But turn with me to your Bible in Mark chapter 5, if you would. Now, I told you, and I must share this quickly, the Lord gave me three words to work with on and off throughout the upcoming years, and those words were the words word, worship, and warrior. We talked about worship about 4 or 5 months ago. We spent about 5 weeks on the subject of worship. We're going to enter into the subject of the word today. More importantly, and it may take me quite a few weeks to do that message I'm about to announce, more importantly, I want to share with you concerning the power of the abiding word. But this morning, I want to lay a foundation to this whole word message with a message entitled The Touch That Liberates. And I want to tell you, and this is why my ministry has always been so focused on this. Saints, until we individually get into this word and bring this word into our lives, the word abiding means to live. There's three particular scriptures we'll be looking at over the years as we look at it, but there's three particular passages. Help me, Lord. Hebrews 4:12 opens up by saying that the word of God is quick and powerful. Word quick means alive. It's living. It's a living word. We're not just holding ink in our hand. What we're holding is life. And it has the ability to be life. What we're holding is creative. And it has the ability to create. When we speak it by believing, and it's alive. John 8:32, Christ said, if you continue in my word, you are my students indeed. And he said, that's when you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 15:7, the Lord said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you can ask what you want. That's carte blanche. That's an unsigned check. Here's the check, fill it in. Now, you don't have to worry about asking for something you shouldn't ask for, because if you abide in him and his word abides in you, you're only going to pray according to his word. And if you don't pray according to his word, you're not getting it, because then the word's not abiding in you. Three things the Lord has said to us, and I want these things, I'm going to repeat these things constantly because I want them in your spirit. One, as I just said a moment ago, today could be your day. You need to tell yourself that every day. Several times a day, this might be my day. Another word the Lord gave us we need to get into our spirit is he said, I will reverse and I will restore you to wholeness. That's not something the pastor made up. That's a word from the Spirit of God. That's a word that will take place. And then another word, and I think this is probably the most important because everything's going to hinge on this one. The Lord said that if we will work the word will work. I'm going to say that one again because, as I say, everything hinges on this. If we will work this word will work. John, or Mark, either one. Mark chapter 5, reading is rather lengthy, so I'm going to breeze right through it, beginning at verse 24 through 34. Verse 24 says, and Jesus went with him, and many people followed him, and they thronged him, they pressed him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had allowed many things to be done to her by many physicians, and she had spent everything that she had, and she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Ever been there? Verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind that crowd and touched his garment. For she said, And notice, she heard. Now she said, if I can but touch his clothes, I will be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that power had gone out of him, turned around to in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? I love the I love these disciples. They were so many times, they were just disengaged with what was going on. Verse 31. And the disciples said unto him, Lord, you see the multitude thronging you, and you ask, who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, anybody know why? She wasn't supposed to be there. Fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Behold of your plague, the touch that liberates. Now I want to tell you, my friend, and we see it even here. In the days of Christ, a lot of people touched him, and it had no effect on them. But then came people like this woman who touched him. And instantly he recognized and acknowledged and realized that energy, power had flowed out of him because somebody touched him. We got to learn how to touch him so that something happens. Because, and I've said for years, she could touch him in that day, and he still can be touched today. The story here, this incident, relates to us one of the most graphic and provocative stories to be found in the entire scripture. And in this story, there is a deep and wonderful lesson to be learned from the great truth that's expressed therein. And also, we need this. You need to realize that the very same principles which brought about this woman's deliverance, the very same principles are applicable to anyone at any time. Everyone who today will touch the Lord for any particular need. Now, a quick analysis of Mark 5 reveals to us that this unnamed woman spoken of here possessed an outstanding faith in the power of Yeshua to heal. Heal. I love that word. If you don't have a comfortable, good, working definition of that word, I want to give you one. You won't find this in your dictionaries and thesauruses and not thesauruses, but now it won't come back to me what I was thinking about. You won't necessarily find my definitions word for word, but you will find the concept if you're studying. The definition I use, formed on all the things I've learned from the Greek and Hebrew languages for healing, is this. It means to be restored or returned to normal. That's what it means to be healed. That's what happened to this woman. She was returned to normal. Now, she goes further, but that's what basically happens. And the reason is this. She did. How many of you believe? I know every one of you do. I know it. But here's the thing. She did more than believe. She put her belief in action. I accepted the Lord as my Savior in 1977 because I believed, but I didn't leave it there. I went a little further. I put what I believe into action. And he came into my life. Mark 5, although there are several stories, but this one is of a woman who is in desperate need of help. She had suffered hemorrhages for 12 long years. And in spite of the long treatment by physicians, in spite of all the medications that she was given, there was no improvement at all in her life. As a matter of fact, the scripture said she got worse. Now, I'm going to set all this up, and I've got to stay close because it's been a long week and I didn't get to memorize this. And it's probably the most important foundational lesson I've ever done. But during the course of her long and expensive treatment, she suffered tremendous pain and agony. Ladies, you can relate to this on a small scale based on 12 years versus 7 days. But you can understand what she must have been like more than we men can. I know one time I had a cut. I got a scar on my arm where somebody cut me for a reason. And I remember losing a lot of blood through this cut. If you ever see it, you see how long the scar is. And I remember that night being weak. I was so weak, laying on the floor of that restaurant, that I didn't have the strength to get up. I was getting weaker and weaker. I can imagine what this woman must have been like. 12 years she suffered this blood disorder. 12 years she went to see doctors. 12 years she spent everything she had to the point that there was actually nothing left even for the necessities of life. Think about it. Think about how pathetic her situation was. Not only were her means exhausted, but at the same time, in her diseased and weakened condition, she couldn't even work. I don't know if she had family, the Bible don't tell us. And as I asked that question, as a matter of lifestyle practice in the days of Christ, she really should not have been out among the people, like the lepers. And the sad truth about this woman, and I'm saying this and I'm telling you, we have people that are here. Different diseases, different causes, but here. And we have people that are heading here. That's why this message is so important, because the sad truth about this woman's condition is this. At that time, she had absolutely nothing to look forward to but death. That's all she had. But in her dark, dismal world of despair, a ray of hope popped in. The community wherein she was living, I don't know exactly where it was, but where she was living, the community had been stirred by what some had seen and some had heard concerning the miraculous works of a man by the name of Yeshua who came out of the city or town of Nazareth. And according to verse 27, she listened intently to what was being said about this man. I pick these subjects because it's an assumption. I don't know word for word what she heard, but I just think along this line that she had heard how he restored sight to the blind. She heard how he enabled the dumb to speak, turned water into wine, how he had strengthened withered limbs. She heard how he exercised authority over demonic spirits, how he walked on water, how he spoke a word to a storm and the storm ceased. She heard how he raised the dead back to life. She heard about this man who forgave sins. basically, she heard about the man that had the answer to every problem of mankind. Remember when that used to be a big focus for us in the church? Going back 35 and more years back? He was the answer to everything. And church, that hasn't changed. He was 35 years ago, but he still is today. Because he not only had the answers back then, he's got the answers today. As a matter of fact, Yeshua is the answer. If we would wake up, we'd realize he's the answer to all of life's problems. He's the answer to all the mind-boggling questions. And saints, it's time to wake up and once again realize that all we need is the Lord. And again, these used to be catchphrases in the church. Somebody come up to you and they tell you all these things that's going on. What would you say? All you need is the Lord. You go up to somebody and tell them how bad you're doing, how terrible. All you need is the Lord. And if you got around the wrong person, if one of them spiritual ones, they look at you and say, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer, we're turning. You know that the power is turning. You will fight. I knew somebody had to finish it if I stopped right there. I think she's been watching Monk. She can't leave it at the end. Time for us to realize once again, I'm not saying nothing new, that he's the great physician and he heals all of our sickness. He's the one who supplies our need according to his riches and glory and his grace and mercy. He's the restorer. What did the psalmist say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores. He's the restorer of our lives and souls. He's the wonderful one Isaiah spoke about, the counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Son of God. Now, so far in this woman's story, she has overcome two barriers of faith that will eventually lead to her complete victory and divine deliverance. First, she recognized the need for divine intervention on her behalf. She knew she was dying. She knew that no doctor, no medication, no friends, as much as they might try, they couldn't do nothing for her. And it's sad to say, but I'm taking note that many of Yahweh's people today, they no longer even possess this fundamental knowledge or the need for God's help. What used to be our first reaction to anything has now come way down on our list of to-dos when we're having a problem. I'm not attacking this. I'm going to say this phrase again. It's time to wake up. God has already showed breakthrough. I don't know about any other church. I care about them all. I don't know about any other church. God has already shown breakthrough, what he's capable of and where he's going. We either get in it with him or once again it's going to pass us by. And we'll wait another 15, 20, 30 years and hope God gets back to us sometime. I mean, we've come to a place today that there are a lot of ministers, I'm saying ministers, They're taking this word and they're ministering the fact as truth that God no longer heals people. I'm not exactly sure what verse it is. I know what chapter it's in. Now, I can't figure it out because I've read the whole chapter several times, but there's only one verse they use, and I still can't figure out what it is. Don't believe that God heals anymore. We shouldn't expect it. And that's why I tell them, you're not going to see it. Because you got to expect it. You got to look forward to it. You got to have his word living in you. That this is what he does. You know, sometimes I think God looks down at us and says, you know, maybe him and the Son and, well, the Holy Spirit's mine. But sometimes I think God and the Son get to talk and I think they look at each other and say, do they know us? This is what we do. Her first lesson was she recognized that she had a need for divine deliverance and intervention. No other way was it going to happen. Second lesson she learned, or overcome, was the fact that she came to the realization, we say it all the time, but how do we realize it? She came to the realization with God, nothing's impossible. And through his power, she believed she could be restored to health. She was totally convinced that if she could make it from wherever she was, and make it to where the Lord was, she was convinced that he had the ability to restore her life back to normal. So as I said, she realized her need, and she knew that the Lord could get the job done. And for most people, that's about as far as their faith will reach. But her faith didn't stop there. See, she had the faith of Abel, Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, the three Hebrews that went into the fire. She had that kind of faith. She had the faith of all the others who through history put their faith in action. And she decided to go to the place where Christ was known to be. I heard a story one time. A young boy's mother was sick, very sick. She was dying. The young boy knew nothing of church, knew nothing about the Lord. But he had a postman, mailman, who was an Assembly of God evangelist. And so the little boy was telling the mailman about his mother, and mailman looked at the little boy and he said, you got to get her to Jesus. Jesus can heal her. Now, I don't know word for word what he said to the little boy, but the little boy didn't quite put it together. But he had heard about the house of the Lord, you know, the church. So he went down the street to the church. He walked in the church. He asked to see the man in charge. They took him to the pastor. And they said, Pastor, we know you're busy, but we think you might need to talk to this little boy. He needs help. He told the pastor what the postman had told him. His mother's dying. And if she doesn't get the Lord, she won't live. So the little boy asked the question, is he home? And the minister said, what? Well, I heard this was the house of the Lord. I want to know if he's here. Pastor went up to his podium that morning, looked at the church, told him the story. And he asked the church, is he here? Because if he is, I haven't experienced him in some... This was the pastor. Sometime. I want to ask breakthrough, is he here? I'm not like that other pastor. I've been experiencing him, but is he here? People come in for help. Can we help? Years ago, my wife, boy, she got angry with me. I was in a bad way physically. She jumped up and she said, you need to put a demand on the anointing in your life and get back to work. She said, there are people that need your help, and you're wrong to keep it from them. Get busy and be back to what you used to do and put a demand on the anointing. I could say that to all of us, I guess. Because that's what this woman did. She put a demand on the anointing in Christ. And she said, I'm going to have to get rid of this. There's only a few statements I want to say that's important. But she had got to a place. I don't know how far she traveled. But I know one thing. It wasn't an easy trip. I don't know how far it was, but I know that every step she lost energy. Every step bleeding more and more and more, strength going out. I don't know how far she got, but she got to the place she realized this must be where he's at because of the amount of people. So many so she couldn't see him. And she realized, got another obstacle, the sightseers, the people who just come to watch. Now, for a lot of us, that'd be it. We got close. I couldn't see him, but I know he was up there. But I can see her. And she looks forward and she thinks, against all the advice of my friends, against all the advice of the doctors, I'm going to make my way through this crowd. I can see her. She slides by one person under the arm of another, excuses herself around as she moves around another, encircles two others, trying to push and move her way up, and people pushing her from the back and pushing her from the side, and she's focused and fixed to get up here to this place. Then I can see it. She's 3 feet away. Now, for most, that'd be about as far as we'd have to go. But she didn't say, if I can get close to him, I can get healed. She didn't say, if I can get around where he's at, I could experience health. She said, if I touch. Touch what? And that's where it all comes together, that phrase. I need to explain it to you this way so you understand it. This is a prayer shawl. Every single thing in here means something. Everything. Now, in the days of Christ, they wore these for prayer at certain times. And when they were traveling, they would just tie it around their waist like this or wear it over their shoulders. Most of them tied it like this, and then they would walk. As I say, I'm not going to explain it all. But these tassels down here, well, let me say it this way. When they put this over their head, it became Psalm 91. They that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. And that's what this little statement's all about here, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And they would quote their prayers. But these tassels represent the Word of God. These longer ones, and again, the Lord's would have been down to the floor. There's four of them. They represent the entire counsel of God's Word, every bit of it. This is his garment. It wasn't a robe. The Lord showed me this about 37 years ago. So what did she do in her sick and weakened and devastated state, realizing if I lunge out and it doesn't happen, I'm a dead woman. I won't make it home. But she reached out, and this is my belief of what she grabbed. I mean, I know this was the garment, but I believe she grabbed one of the corners. And in so doing, she grabbed hold to the entire counsel of God's word. Every bit of it. She had heard about the Lord. She came to the realization, if I can get a hold of his word, basically, I will be made. I will be healed. So I'm trying to, if we don't have a working knowledge of the word, if it doesn't become alive in us, it's not going to benefit us. This was so alive in this woman that she made her way however far and went through everything she went through just for the purpose. She didn't want counseling. She didn't want to stop and talk to him. She ended up talking to him, and thank God I wasn't at that meeting. Could you imagine 12-year testimony? And if she's anything like my wife, she'd have to embellish parts of it. So that 12 years would turn into 18 years, which is good in our year. And all along, this other man standing there, his daughter's dying. I can see him. Hey, you know, I started this. Back here, I asked him to come to my house. Now you're holding him up. Hang with what all happens here, because this is where we're going. She touched the word that she believed. That word was alive in her. And this is the difference. And because it was alive in him and her, it just transferred over. So much so that Christ knew that when she tagged on this. And remember what the disciples, clueless in the crowd. Remember what they said when Christ said, "Who touched me?" Who touched you? There's 1,500 people here. Every one of them touched you. I touched you. And you want us to identify the one that touched you? Well, this is easy. They touched you. She touched you. He touched you. That's who touched you. He said, nah, this was a special touch. I got touched by somebody with a touch that liberates. I got touched by somebody with a touch that loosens. I got touched by somebody who has enough confidence in God and my ability given to me by God. I got touched by somebody who believes what this word says so much so they're living on it right now and it's alive in them. When the word becomes alive. Christ said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, if it's living in you, the word of God is quick and powerful, living and powerful. And Christ turned around. He says, sister, lady, daughter. Well, I don't use the word his daughter because he identified her then. He called her his daughter. He identified her as a servant of Abraham, a woman of faith. He said, don't worry about your condition no more. Your faith has made you whole. He was touched by faith then. He's touched by faith today. I don't care how bad the conditions have gotten. I don't care what the reports of the medical field are. I don't care how many, I don't know about you. I've had three doctors so far tell me there's nothing we can do for you. As if I was just going to lay over and die then. And the first one, I remember the first one that did it. He said, there's nothing that I can do for you. And I thanked him. He said, what are you thanking me for? I can't do nothing. I said, well, that means I ain't got to pay you no more because I ain't got to come back here no more. I ain't got to look forward to you coming up with a new plan or a new way. You can't do nothing. I got to get out of this now. I got myself so lost in here. Your faith's made you whole. And these words have as much enlightenment for you today as they did for those that heard them back then. God told Isaiah the prophet, through Isaiah, he said, the word that I speak, that word will perform what I spoke it to perform. If I spoke it to create, it's going to create. If I spoke the word to heal, to restore you to normalcy, it's going to restore you to normal. If I spoke the word to give you increase, let's say financial increase, you're getting increase. If I spoke the word, but that word spoken has to become alive in us. And we'll look in the next 3 or 4 weeks of how that's done. But let me close with this. Faith can be unlimited power in your life. Unlimited. And the same faith that brought her deliverance can bring out. Mark 11:24, again, words spoke that came out of the mouth of the Master, where he said, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Those here, those, I mean, if you will believe like this woman with the same confidence, the same trust, the same conviction, you will discover that no matter what your need is, Yeshua is not only able, but he will fulfill it. Today could be your day, but you're going to have to step out into the new day. Church, I want to encourage you, believe the word. Stand on his promises. And I guarantee you that the power of faith will bring divine assistance into your life. Work the word. Word of work. She worked it. Dozens of others worked it. And it worked. When we work it, it'll work because faith is an unlimited power. Rise up with me if you would and let's pray. We lost Kathy, so we're not going to do the song. She's not back here. It's okay. We don't have to. Just join with me in prayer, if you would. Father, Lord, this is nothing but a seed story. Different than my normal type of outlines, different than my normal type of presentation. This was a seed story that you gave us to show us the value of your word when not only believed, but acted upon. And although we may have lost everything else, we may be in the process of losing everything. Once we touch you with the touch that liberates, all that will be restored. Will be made whole. So, Lord, I just pray that your word will sink deep into our spirits. In Christ's name. And now I pray that the grace and peace of God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rest upon us as we depart the sanctuary, but never your presence. Bring us back at the next appointed time in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Keep in mind, stay in the word. It'll keep you from worry and Wednesday night, 1 Corinthians. Try to read a few chapters. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you was out there. That's all right. We can get